Hello guys, good evening and welcome to the Ugly Show. So it's Friday. It's wonderful. Today is, I'm happy because today is, I don't go to work on Saturday, of course. So I'm really happy because I'm going to sleep. The traffic I've been in this past week, first of all, on Tuesday and on Wednesday, I cried in Victoria Island. Like, I left the office by 4 p.m. and I did not get home by... On Tuesday, I didn't get home till 8:30. On Wednesday, I got home by 9 p.m. I was literally shedding tears in traffic. And today is one of my best friends' birthday. Happy birthday, Josh! Happy birthday, Uzon! Yes, Josh's other name is Uzon, which I'm the only one allowed to call him that. So guys, if you see Josh on the road, please don't call him Uzon. Happy birthday. May your dreams come true. May your company grow. May your beds, you know, be fuller. So, after this podcast, I'm not sure there's going to be an alcohol section, but we're hoping there's going to be an alcohol section. But guys, I bet you this evening it's really going to be fun. Josh is really an amazing person. If you can, please go on his Instagram at absolutely Josh and wish him a happy birthday. He's been an amazing person. He's been okay. So I have Farouk and Latifa. Farouk is both of them were my colleagues in school. We three of us, we all read mass communication, and presently Latifa is a stylist, or she's an intern in a fashion house. I think, let me put it that way, intern is in a fashion house, right? And Farouk Biko, what does he do? What do you do right now?
I do several businesses.
Okay, that's his a Dangote in the making. He's diversifying. He has over, I think he has more than two sources of income. So today we're discussing the part three of feminism and my faith, and this time around is feminism and my Islamic faith. So what does, you know, when you hear the word feminism, what comes to mind? Latifa, what comes to your mind when you hear
feminism? When I hear the word feminism, equality comes to my mind.
Okay.
Women's rights, women interests.
Okay.
Neither politics, education, social life.
All right. Okay, Farouk, what does
generally, feminism is a way, it's like a movement of females being equal with the male counterparts in all ramifications.
Okay.
So without any disparity or differences, be it social, political, or whatever.
Okay. So religion. You're both Muslims. So religion. I was reading an article. I'm always reading. I don't know. So I was reading this article on feminism and religion. So they were basically talking about, you know, comparing Christianity to the Hindu religion, to Islam, to Buddhism, to even our traditional way of worship before the white men came. So I saw several things. So I'm going to ask, you know, questions like, I saw that if a woman is on her period, she's not allowed to touch the Quran. Okay, I find that like, compared to Christianity, I don't think, you know, women are allowed not to touch the Bible just because they're on a period. Don't you think that it's kind of unfair to deny a woman the opportunity to, you know, touch the Quran, to read the Quran, because she's menstruating, something she has no control over? I mean, this is nature, this is natural. Don't you think it's quite, you know, it's unfair? It's definitely unfair, because if a man was in the same situation, would he, you know, be banned from touching the Quran just because, you know, he's bleeding? Is there a reason why, you know, such a thing is, such a law exists rather?
All right, thank you. Basically, what I would say is there are some practices, let me say, some sects of Christianity. Yeah. The mistake you made, sorry, I'm just trying to correct some of those things you've said earlier. You said in Christianity or in other religion, there is no such practice also.
No, I said in Christianity, there's no practice where if a woman is menstruating, she's not allowed to touch the Bible.
Okay.
That's what I said.
But maybe they are not allowed to touch the Bible. You understand? But I'm very sure there are some parts of Christianity that would say if they are menstruating, you should not come to church.
I don't think. No.
That's
what I'm saying. A particular set of Christians.
Yeah.
This white garment.
White garment people.
Yeah, yes.
No. I understand that. I know that some white garment people, when you're menstruating, it's not, don't come to church. They don't allow you to climb the altar. But right now, we're not talking about Christians. We're talking about, you know, Islam, women, menstruation, and the Quran.
Yes, I'm still driving towards that.
Okay,
part.
Okay.
So, in Islam, we believe women menstruating, they are kind of
unclean,
yeah, kind of, they are not pure for that period. You understand that they are menstruating. So, this, they are, you know, basically, there are some practices that they would have to do during those period. Aside from them not coming to the mosque, not performing salah, not touching holy things for that period, they are not even allowed to go near their husband during those period because they feel they are unclean. So till that moment, till they go away, till the period is over, then they can always come to perform their obligatory salat and all that. So what I'm saying is those time they are not clean, so to say, they are not clean, they are unclean, so they have to suspend all practice.
But menstruation is natural.
It's not like debarring them totally.
There are
some other things we can do while
menstruating. Like, but you're denying them the opportunity to come to the house of prayer. You're even going as far as saying they should not, you know, be close to their husbands.
Yeah. Even while you're doing your menstruation, you can go to the mosque, probably like a Jumat service. You can go there to listen to the sermon, but you can't observe Salat. You can't pray because you're considered impure.
Okay, so that's is it. I find it.
Even men. Let me tell you, men after they've gone, they've met with their women, their wives. If they don't have this ritual bath, they won't be able to pray also. They won't be able to perform any kind of work. But those periods, we consider it as unclean.
So why is something so natural, something so that's created by God, something so natural like menstruation and sex be considered unclean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, I'm not, even if I was a prostitute, but this time around, from what you're saying, we're looking at the basis of marriage. I'm menstruating. I can't go close to my husband because I'm considered impure. I'm not menstruating. I have sexual intercourse with my husband. And he has to wash. He's seen as unclean.
Both of you have to take the ritual bath.
The ritual bath, not the women alone. It's just like you going to the toilet. You understand?
Having sex is not going to the toilet.
You know, going to the toilet is natural too.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. No, but is it different? No, or it's, how can you say it's the same thing?
You can tell me.
How can you say it's the same thing?
Just let me clear. experience.
It's not the same thing.
You are passing out
physics. What my body does not need. My body has collected what it wants, what is good for it. Then it's taking, it's removing the one that it doesn't need.
How about the menstrual?
Is actually broken egg that wasn't fertilized.
Yeah, the body doesn't
need
it to. So you have to take it out.
There are bad bloods that your body does not need. So basically, it's just on the same way.
No. I refuse to agree to that. I'm sorry. I refuse to agree to that because you cannot. You cannot say.
It's coming from even the same place. Your physio, your everything is coming from.
No, my physio is coming from my anus.
It's both considered the private part.
Yes.
Yeah, genitals. But you cannot say okay because of. Okay, let's just if we're going to really have this conversation, believe you me, you'd have to prove to me beyond reasonable doubt why I have to agree. That's
the same way you agree to urine, pees, and all that.
But urine and period are not the same thing.
You can't prove that. Please just.
I can't prove it. They're science. They're not the same. They're not.
These are things you just defined it as something you don't want. Your body doesn't like.
No, my body is not. Egg was not fertilized, so it comes out as period.
It comes out because your body doesn't need it. It wasn't fertilized. Yeah. So it means it's a waste. And you can't keep a waste inside of you.
Exactly.
So because I am menstruating, I am unclean.
Yeah.
So I'm banned from doing certain things. Okay, there's this in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, then it was the Jewish religion and all that. So there were certain things, just like you said, now women who were menstruated were considered unclean, too.
Yes, even.
But then, even what?
In some other religions.
So then Christ came, the New Testament, and then he made everything became new. He opened up a lot of things and all that. Especially then there was a story of the woman with the issue of blood that, normally she's not even supposed to come out in public, but she did, and she touched Christ and she became healed and all of that. So is there going to ever be a time where these women will not be considered unclean? Or okay, let me rephrase. Do you think this law should be lifted, making women feel they're unclean because they're menstruating?
Actually, for me, when I'm having my menstruation, I read the Quran.
Okay.
But through my phone, through a particular app, I don't hold on to it.
Okay.
I read it through a particular app. And through the series.
So you're breaking the law? So you're saying it.
I'm not touching it.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to go close to it.
Yes, you're not supposed to.
So you're breaking the law. So that means you are feeling what I am feeling.
No.
That means she feels cheated that she cannot.
No,
but it's true. For her to. She's being rebellious. That's her being rebellious.
It's very wrong.
But you just agree that she broke the law. She broke the law. Why? Okay, why are you using your phone to reach?
No, someone.
Farouk, you're not a man, please. So let's have this woman to woman conversation. Why did you have to go to your phone to read the Quran?
During those time that I'm on my menstruation, I won't be far from my Lord. So Quran is like a message. So when I read it, I'll feel like, oh, I'm still in a connection, like I'm still having this connection. So I know I can't hold on to it, but I know there's an app in which I can read. So I'll just pick up my phone and read. I'm like, okay. And after the other, I'll be like, astagfirullah. You know, my intention is not to disobey, but just to get closer to you.
Oh yeah, so you break the law. And then you beg God for forgiveness.
Something like that.
Okay. We're deceiving ourselves. It's fine. So, and then the second one I saw about, women are not allowed to lead prayers. In Christianity, I know we have female pastors. We have women leading worship. We have women, although even though I'm Catholic, there are no female priests. But then you have the Reverend Sisters who are also allowed to give communion and like them. Is there a reason why women are not allowed to lead prayers even in
presence? Women are allowed to lead prayers when they're in the midst of women. but not in the midst of men.
When you are in the midst of men, there are several, logically, there are several reasons.
Which, I'd really love to hear those reasons.
The first reason is, you can't imagine, the way we pray, you understand, stand, prostrate, bend, and do all sorts of things. Imagine yourself being in the mosque, and you have the front row men, the second row, or let's say mixed up. It's number one, it's not organized.
You lose concentration.
Number two, you have a woman at the front praying for, you know, leading the prayer. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Leading the prayer, your concentration will not be there.
A woman's physical outlook is enough to like distract you. Then imagine you standing in front of men trying to lead them in prayer. You'll be distracted. And when you're actually praying, you're meant to concentrate. You're meant to communicate. For each and every word you say while on Salat, it's like communication with your Lord.
Oh wait, Salat is the prayer.
Yeah, Salat is the prayer. Yes.
Okay. Right, prayer. I needed to get that because I've been hearing that word a lot.
It's not a lot.
So, to avoid distraction.
You're saying that, why would anybody go to a house of prayer to look at a woman? I mean, is your concentration not supposed to be on the fact that, oh, you came there to seek the face of the Lord? Why are you looking at a woman's bum bum or a woman's breast? Why should that distract you from the purpose?
We have human nature.
No.
Okay.
You go with a particular intention. There's that your intention might change. You might, I'm going to the mosque to observe Salah. But when you see a nice, structurally woman, you'd be like, wow.
So nice structure. I mean, really, for the fact that she's wearing, she's fully covered up.
Yeah, but facially, you can see she's looking beautiful and everything. Right. You can still get...
Even while she's bending, so, you know...
She's bending, you know what?
For
no, I want to hear him. She's bending, so what?
No. It could be very, very distracting.
What is she bending?
You know, the way we like do our prayer, bend and
you stand, you prostrate and all that.
Yeah, so basically it's the fact that, you know, it boils down to distraction, sexual distraction. So because, you know, you're protecting a man from being carried away, which I believe a man should be responsible for his own sexual discipline and otherwise, and moral high ground.
We're not actually protecting the man, we're protecting both the man and the woman.
Okay, I don't...
That's why we seclude the prayer.
Yeah, I know you guys seclude the prayer. I really don't find that comfortable. Maybe because I'm a Christian and men... let's use the Christian, you know, analogy. Men and women, they sit together in church, they pray together and all this stuff. So I'm not saying that's what you're saying.
You see, that has just been coming up, probably in the 60s, you understand?
But no, men and women have always worshipped together in Christianity.
Yeah, they've always worshipped, but leading is what I'm particularly
not the 60s. No, definitely not the 60s.
Okay, so when did that start?
Yeah, you can say...
I know of Mary Daly, the first...
Mary Magdalene!
No. That's not who I'm talking about.
Who's that? Mary Slessor?
No. This theological feminist that graduated around the 60s. I think she was the first graduate that wrote a book like that. You understand? She was trying to explain, she's a feminist too, and she was trying to explain that why do we present God as a he or so, and why is not a she or something, that there's biological what's it called, then there's biological
clock,
then discrepancy kind of,
the anatomy of male and female are quite different.
She even said they should rewrite the Bible in such a way that you can refer to God as a she or something that is not masculine kind of, you understand? So that's the person I'm referring to.
Okay,
so when we're talking about, she knows, definitely, I think she's a Catholic or this old
Orthodox churches.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So she was now, she knew they could not lead
as a woman,
she could not lead. And she was so annoyed, even in her writing. So this kind of leading has been in existence. You can look back at the time of
yeah, but the thing is that in Christianity is changing.
And it's changing, but that's not a lot of things.
But Mary, the mother of Jesus, actually led.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, she did.
Can you prove that, please?
Where? Yes, she did.
Where did she lead?
How will I put it this way?
Where did she lead?
You know, Mary actually gave Jesus permission to perform his first miracle, his mother.
She gave
Jesus permission to perform.
In which one?
When Jesus performed his first miracle, when he turned water to wine.
Because she permitted him as a mother, doesn't mean she's leading or something.
No, you're not understanding my point. I'm saying Christianity has always given women a chance.
Of course.
Mary
even in Islam, but yeah, the fact Islam that they don't allow them to worship
so many
to
lead
no you prayer, you you the separate prayer. Them from worshiping with the men, and then you give reasons for in sexual discipline you're trying to protect the women, you're trying to protect the men, you know, just to put concentration. Which for me, I feel like everybody should be responsible for their own sexual discipline. And secondly, and then you talk about how, you know, because of menstruation, you know, they're considered impure and all of that. Okay, now a lot of things.
In the old days,
before civilization, before technology and the rest of them, but I'm talking about the whole world right now, the Roman Empire, Greek empires, and the rest of them. There are still instances in the Bible where, or women, or in history where women have led. You have, you know, people like Cleopatra. You have women like, you know, even the Queen of Sheba and the rest of them. So, looking at it now, are you saying
like
that?
In the Christendom, I wanted to mention the name. Like,
we have the prophetess Deborah.
Prophetess Deborah.
You would have to go and read on her. You have so many women that have shown feminist tendencies in the Bible. You have Queen Vashti, you have Queen Esther, you have Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene?
Yes.
She used to be the
prostitute that, you know,
like
they wanted to stone. She was one of the founders of the first church. You know, she was there with Christ. They all communed together in the house. Even after Christ died, they were all together trying to, you know, they as women, although they didn't come out to go around preaching the gospel, but they played a role in the formation of the first church.
I'm coming to
the point where now Christianity has, you know, been open to women,
okay,
not just leading prayers but becoming, you know, pastoral heads in church. From that to Nigeria, you have Funke Adejumo, you have a lot of female pastors. It's not just that in the last 10, 15, 20 years, this has been happening. You have Victoria Austin. You have women like that leading ministries all over the world.
That was not our Jesus who taught you Christianity or who brought Christianity did it in his days.
How do you know? Jesus did not turn away everybody.
I've asked you a question now.
Yeah.
In the time of Jesus Christ, can you mention anyone who led prayer worship while Jesus was sitting, you know, and the person was leading or kind of
same, right now.
No mention any name.
No, but I'm telling you
I wanted to say about 50, 60 years ago.
We still have the female pastors.
The first female to that's Mary I mentioned the other time.
Christianity is evolving. It's giving women a chance. Allowing a woman go to theology school and coming out. It's giving women a chance. What I'm saying is when we Islam get to that point.
And what says Islam is not giving women
leading prayers just amongst women. Leading prayers where men and women are. Women are pastors. They stand on the pulpits and they preach the gospel to a congregation of men and women and children.
Let me explain something to you, please. What I will explain to you is, right from the onset, women as have always been feeling so what's it called, underrated, you understand, not given privilege and also, so there has been this kind of women movement right from time. So I think it's, that was what graduated to the issue of feminism. So let me tell you, even in Mecca, before the emergence of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, who taught us Islam, who brought Islam, the founder of Islam, there was this oppression that was everywhere, whereby women were being killed, aside from being killed, buried, used as slave, and a lot of torture and others, you know. But when he came, he started giving them right to talk, right to do this, right to own this, right to own this, right to be part of the system, you understand? That is what Islam brings to us. So Islam brought something that gives us this privilege, and it's really respects women a lot.
Yeah, but if you say when he came, he, you know, gave women a voice and all that, but presently, compared to their Christian counterparts, women who practice Muslimas, they're not as vocal as their Christian counterparts. Because especially coming from Saudi Arabia, imagine Saudi Arabia, women were just allowed to start to drive in 2018. So what right are you talking about?
See, Islam.
If the seat of where Islam is, Islam actually oppress women. So what rights are you talking about? I need to understand.
Okay, I'll give you so many instances.
Yeah.
The first one is, I would want you to know that Islam has a laid down rule.
Okay.
Like, rules that guide every of our steps.
Yeah. Every organization has a modus operandi.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's not something that you just come up with and say, okay, I want to change this thing.
So, okay, if you're saying, what I'm saying is, if you're saying that the prophets actually came and gave women a voice and all of that, so why is it that what the prophet did is not what is obtainable today?
I'll tell you what he did. Okay. I'll tell you what he did. His first wife, Khadija, mm-hmm. was an entrepreneur. Oh, she has so many businesses before she got married to him, you understand?
And after she got married to him?
After she got married, she was still a businesswoman.
Yeah.
So, and aside that, Aisha, who is the last wife of the Holy Prophet, led a battle. A political battle, you understand? Aside that, so many roles.
Yeah, I'm not disputing any of the fact. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, why is it not obtainable today, especially in the seat of Islam, which is Saudi Arabia, where I think that is the one country where women's rights are trampled up, as in those women do not have a voice. So if you're saying the Prophet Muhammad came and gave women a voice, why is it not obtainable today, even down to Nigeria, especially in northern Nigeria?
Why would you say that?
The rights of women are trampled on Saudi Arabia.
Oh, you really need to read that. Just imagine, really? Saudi Arabia, as developed, as technological advanced as they are, women were allowed to drive just in 2018.
For the fact that they didn't...
No, you cannot say women are allowed to drive in 2018. Mm. Some women are still not allowed to own properties.
Why?
No.
Why?
In Islam, you're allowed to own properties.
I'm saying... No, he is saying when Muhammad came, Prophet Muhammad, he gave women rights, he gave women all options. I'm saying, why is it not obtainable today? And then I don't even want to use our country, Nigeria. I'm using even the seats of Islam, which is Saudi Arabia, where women's rights are oppressed. If you get home, you need to go and read that.
I don't
you don't want to agree,
I
because
I
but
don't
this
have
is
to read that before I
no that but yes I'm saying
well, I think you are
imagine
mixing something up.
Which is
mixing, what you are mixing up is, you are saying the fact that they didn't allow, they've not been allowing them to drive.
What if men are driving and women are not driving?
No.
2018,
you see,
in the 20th century, what are you saying?
Let me
I'm giving you one instance where inequality is.
The
that's what I'm saying.
Country decide that their women won't drive. Doesn't
but that is your drive. Seat. That is where Mecca is.
Wait,
that is where Medina is.
No.
So that is
It doesn't mean all they are doing there is the
right thing. Yes.
Originated or it comes from that side doesn't mean everything they are doing there is right.
So do you,
but the fact that they gave women were not allowed to drive then, it only means they care for their women. Yes,
okay. This is honestly completely laughable. How can you say
when they actually allowed them to ride at every stop, they were giving them flowers. Like, say, we have complimented them. You guys are right.
The world was happy for them. And then I remembered there was a particular lady, I've forgotten her name, that decided to drive one day. That she's tired. She was not going to do this. In 2017, that was before they took off that ban in 2018. In 2017, she decided to be rebellious. And then she drove a car on the streets of Saudi Arabia. And CCTV cameras caught it. And they put this woman in prison for driving a car. So if you're actually saying they stopped them from driving because they care about them. If a woman is driving and she's not getting into any accident and she loves them and all that. What should you be bothered about is her happiness. She's happy driving. Why is she ending up in prison?
Well, what's her husband doing? Looking at her wife driving that.
This is the oh god, Farouk. Sexist. You're a misogynist. Now you get me. This is what Saudi Arabian is talking about. Imagine asking, what is the husband doing that the wife is driving? So she should be redundant. So she should not drive because her husband.
Wait, let me tell you something. I was coming back from work about 2 or 3 days ago.
Okay.
And there was this woman that used to take me from my place of work down home. So one day there was a day she got tired and was like, I'm driving 4 guys in my car because we are 4, you understand? I'm driving 4 guys in my car and every day I'll be driving you like that. And none of you could say probably you should come and take, that's very bad. Before they now pointed at me that's okay, I think Farouk knows how to drive. As she had that, she just handed over the key to me the next day. So you can see how stressful it could be, you going with your husband and you driving your husband around.
But it's not the same. No, it's not the same thing. This one is that she had a choice. Feminism is pro-choice. It's about choice for a woman being able to do what she wants, whatever she wants to. This woman loves to drive. The person you're talking about now loves. She loves to drive. She likes driving. Nobody is restricting her from driving. But one day she gets tired and then she says, oh, you know what, I've been driving you guys for a long time, I think somebody should take the wheels. It's not the same thing. It doesn't mean that if you're not around tomorrow, Farouk, she cannot take her car and drive it.
But do you know there is no law that stated that women should not drive? Do you know that?
I am telling you, there were laws until 2018 that women cannot drive in Saudi Arabia.
You know why there was no law? Because the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not even drive at all.
So, it's actually arguable that Islam is much more older than Christianity.
Islam is not older.
I'm saying it's arguable. I'm not sure about the fact that Islam and Christianity, I don't know which one is older.
Christianity has been in existence for over 600 and something years
Before the emergence of Islam. Okay, good. I'm not going to take your word for it. I'm actually going to do more research on that. So now imagine that because Prophet Muhammad, or because, let me say, Jesus rode a donkey.
I guess that was obtainable then.
It was obtainable then because
it's advanced.
So that's what I'm saying. How can you say Prophet Muhammad did not use a car. Yes. So why your imams and the rest of them, why are they driving? Why can't they crawl?
That's why I'm saying that there is no law restricting. You see,
misconstruing yourself right now.
Saudi Arabia doesn't mean it's prohibited in Islam generally.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is, you know, before we went to this whole Saudi Arabia conversation, I said that he said that when the Prophet Muhammad came into existence, when he started his journey, bringing Islam and all that, he gave women rights. And I said, why is it not obtainable today? Because most countries where women's rights are trampled upon, where women are oppressed, where they don't have a voice at all, are actually mostly Islamic countries, and there are data. There's data to back all that facts.
Can
you list?
Islam,
I should come back.
Islam is not
I should come back again.
I
said if you look at, if you compare countries where women's rights are trampled upon, the Islamic countries actually come first, where women don't have a voice. And when I mean Islamic countries, you know, country where both their politics and religion, there's no separation. You know, this, you know that, okay, this is an Islamic country. I'm not talking about countries like Nigeria that are quite secular. I'm saying, you know, this is, so what has that got to do with? Even down to Nigeria here, you that is...
I guess it has to do with misinterpretation of the text. Like, most people just pick up the Quran and just misinterpret it.
Okay.
Some people say, oh, because the Prophet didn't watch TV during his time, we cannot watch TV. They don't have TV in their house.
Some people are not that lenient. People can be very...
Oh, some people will be like, okay, pictures. The Prophet didn't take pictures back then. Like, okay, we cannot take pictures.
Like,
you get
like,
a lot of instances. Okay, and then the last one, see, if we go about this, we can talk for 2 hours soon.
Yeah.
And then the last one is the hijab. You know, most feminists have argued for and against the hijab. Now, for me, I coming to Lagos, and then, okay, I grew up in Port Harcourt, and it's not really much of, it doesn't have much more. When you even find Muslims, they're mostly houses, and they roll with themselves. They, unlike here in Lagos, where Muslims and Christians, they do things together, they eat together, they go to school together and all that. So I didn't have any Islamic friends until I came to Lagos to school, do you understand? So now, being in the same environment, like with you, Latifah, Farouk, even Miriam and all that, I see that a lot of people, that the way the Yorubas practice Islam, they're actually much more liberal than their counterparts in North in Nigeria. Okay, now, most feminists, back to what I was saying, have argued for and against the hijab. Personally, for me, I feel, you know, watching so many people, I realized that it's actually a choice. This is something that makes them happy. And then 2 days ago, I was on Twitter, and then I saw a guy. Okay, there's this trend, something about Ojewa King, and then they talk about hijab edition, and someone was like, in the Quran that there was no mention of the hijab. One woman.
Tell the believer women to how was it even written in the Quran? Tell the believer women to cover to use the veil to cover their bosom, meaning you should cover yourself. Why would you say it's not in the Quran? Clearly in the Quran.
That's actually what I say. Me, I'm not.
It's the law for every woman at the age of puberty to cover up.
Okay. And now they have so many women, especially in Western Nigeria, where they don't use the Quran, but they're Muslims.
They don't use the hijab,
but they are Muslims. A lot of them in...
Due to the societal factor, some people actually find using the hijab pretty difficult. Like, you go out wearing the hijab, people look at you like, oh, you're a terrorist. There was a time I was in Yaba with a friend, and we're trying to like bite something. There was a guy beside me. The way he was looking at me, I'm like, is it that I'm not properly dressed?
I guess Boko Haram. No,
yeah, he was scared of the hijab.
It wasn't like, Dr. Charles calls Boko Haram.
I guess it just has to do with societal factors. You can't get a job using the hijab. You can't get top,
yeah, some companies have their code of conduct,
yes.
And especially banks and rest of them, they don't want you to cover up fully, all of that. You know, some companies.
Is there a reason for that?
No, it's the code of. See, every organization is their rights. They have code of conduct. If you cannot deal with it, you go. That's just it. Just like now. In Islamic organizations, it's actually hard for them to, you know, employ Christians.
No,
but it's true.
That's not true.
No, it's true.
How many Islamic organizations have you been to that they employ Christians?
No, I'm saying they don't employ Christians as much as Muslims, and it's actually for a reason. And then there's some schools.
I don't want to mention the university that I worked before.
Okay.
It's a Christian university.
All right.
If you go there, they will tell you to go to church. If you cannot go to church, you cannot.
Is there, that's the same thing I'm saying. It's their code of conduct. It's just like me now. I'll stay and say I want to go to an Islamic university. And in their law, they said everybody must cover up. Mm-hmm. So I cannot go there and rebel. When, you know, before I came in, I saw that this is their law. This is what it is. It's Islam. This is what it is. I cannot go there and say, oh, I don't want to. Because that would be me wanting to create, you know, drama and all that. And probably I might get my way and change, you know, the status quo where it says that, okay, then it changes to if you're non-Muslim, you can carry your hair like that and all of that. But what I'm trying to say is families have argued for and against the hijab. And personally, for me, I feel it's a choice. Okay. Feminism is pro-choice. You know, if Latifa covers up fully because this is what makes her happy. This is what she wants. And that is what everybody should respect. You should respect the fact that she loves wearing the hijab. Do you understand?
Why some don't look down on people that are Muslim that don't use the hijab. I know it's a law that, like, it's written in the Quran that we should use that, but that doesn't mean because someone isn't using it, I should look down on the person. The person might even be closer to my creator than I that use it, the hijab is. So I don't really look down on anybody.
See,
so far, you as a Muslim.
What is what doing at all is what doing well. This is the conduct, as you have said earlier. Every religion has their own truth. So if my religion is saying if you want to become a Muslim as a woman, you must put on hijab, you must be modest, you understand, and the likes.
So if I don't wear hijab,
so
I'm not modest.
So if you want to practice Islam the way it is, you should learn to use your hijab. So the fact that they are not using hijab doesn't make them non-Muslim or so, you understand.
Okay.
But they are, I feel they are not doing the
right.
I think what Farouk is trying to say, if you want to do Islam, like, you just have to follow the doctrine.
That's that for me. Actually, when I was having this conversation with Christians in the last episode, I said that Christianity and feminism, because of how the laws are structured, they are not compatible. Because you can't say you want to be a Christian and somehow be a feminist, because it's in a conflict of interest. So at the end of the day,
Islam puts women on a high status in Islam, but still you can't merge with feminist and Islam together.
So bottom line, before we end this podcast, because I think we'll be talking for a really, really long time, and I've really had a long day. I mean, I've had a very long week, work and all that. I've really had a long week. So honest to God, do you think feminism and Islam are compatible?
Yes, I think.
To a certain extent.
Yeah. Islam agree with some part of feminism. And at the other side, they are very, very contra.
No, but the thing is, when you say compatible, they have to go hand in hand in everything. Not one and other.
No,
that means they are not compatible then. That means they are not compatible, because feminism is pro-choice for women. Everything. I mean, the whole nine yards. And then there are some practices in Islam that goes against the feminism movement. So it's either, yes, they are compatible 100%.
As a feminist, you can choose not to get married. But in Islam, you are encouraged to even marry early.
Mm-hmm.
So even in Islam, there are functions, women functions and men functions. That is, women are the managerial
positions,
and we men are handling the administrative position. So it's not like we are degrading anybody or trying to, you know, oppress. Well, I think if you want to be in a car and you want to drive down to your destination, you shouldn't use two drivers at a time.
Okay, so the man is the head, basically, and the woman is the neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is definitely not feminism.
You know, without the neck.
Yeah, but in feminism, they don't want that. You know, they don't want the head and the neck conversation. They want them to say, "Oh, both of us."
If I want to live with you in a home and you are married to me. You understand? So definitely, one person must be the head. Is it that you or me?
So would you want a woman to be the head?
No, the woman
Your misogyny is showing. Okay, really, thank you guys for having this conversation with me. Really, thank you.
Thank you.
I know we've actually, we've shifted this thing like twice. You know, really, thank you. Thank you. Farouk, thank you. You've come like twice. And then the last time you came, I wasn't around for us to have this conversation. Latifa, thank you for your time. I know you're tired from work and all of that, but really, thank you. So guys, thank you for listening to this podcast. You know, you can follow our social media accounts on Instagram, Twitter at The Oge Show. You can also tweet at us using the hashtag The Oge Show Podcast. Please share, subscribe to the podcast, and till next week Friday. Bye.